Hey, Olympic edition of the Golf Guys. The gold medal goes to us, doing a pod for everybody out there. Of course, men's Olympic golf wrapping up, women's Olympic golf about to start. Sammy, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing really well, enjoying the Olympics thoroughly, Gunner. Just been diving into all sorts of different sports I didn't know I cared about. The heartbreak on me when the Plouffe twins in our 3-on-3 women's basketball lost at the buzzer to Australia in the semifinals, lose a heartbreaker to the USA in the bronze medal game. Didn't know how much I cared about 3x3, and it's not 3-on-3, it's 3x3, just so for you other 3x3 heads out there. Didn't know how much I cared, but Jesus, I care. And it was a tough loss for our Plouffe twins. Get the Plouffe twins on the big girl team. We need them on the normal team. We have 0-3 in the, we get the Plouffers on there. That's what we need.
Don't get me tempted, okay? I have a lot of thoughts on who does and who doesn't play 3x3 basketball. It's very interesting on, like, the women's side
and
versus
on American
the
men's side. It's like American men went 0-3. Like, why didn't they just ask the next three guys to go? Like, wouldn't Jaylen Brown be pretty good at that?
Just Kevin Durant. I feel like he could play 1-on-3, 1x3, and it'd probably go pretty well for him. All right, but that's a separate pod. Yes. Maybe we'll have to create a whole nother feed for 3x.
The Olympic show.
Don't get me tempted. I'm still heartbroken by Canada's women soccer as well. But yes, plenty to go around, and hopefully we'll be handing out some heartbreak of our own by the time you're listening to this. Mm-hmm. When Canada gives a whooping to France in the men's quarterfinals and hoops. Yeah, I know.
Careful.
I know. Careful what I wish for. I'm very, very worried about that. But what I'm not worried about is talking about the Olympic golf tournament that we just saw. I think we'll start here. Are the Olympics finally here when it comes to men's golf? We've had a couple additions to these. We had the one in Rio that felt a little weird. Then everything about the 2020 Olympics in 2021 felt weird. I won't go as far as to call this a breakthrough moment, but it certainly felt like more of a established event that we've seen with Olympic golf in the past.
So still weird for me because of me having to stream it on a website in terms of like the coverage of it. I think it still holds it back. And in the States, I know it was on Golf Channel for the entire tournament. The entire thing was on the Golf Channel in the States, which I'm not sure why we weren't afforded that. People were like, oh, it's on the Golf Channel. I went there and it was like, how to fix your slice. And I was like, can we just put the Olympic golf on? Like, why is this not available? But I guess it's because they don't. But
the consortium.
But
that's
NBC
what it is.
Shows stuff here too on their normal NBC. So
yeah, like, the Olympic. I mean, this is like super inside baseball, but you know how it is with Olympic rights. It's just
it's
to
very,
the nth degree,
it's
and it's different.
Weird.
There's a reason we all only have seen Sidney Crosby score the golden goal like 1,000 times instead of the 300,000 times it should be. So yeah, I agree with you. I wish it was more easy to find, but you know, no free ads, but so, CBC Gem, it does work
listen,
very well.
I know, but like, I want to, you know, I guess I could Chromecast and put it on my TV. It still to me had the feeling of like a little DP World Tour-ish at times.
For sure.
And, you know, just the coverage of it and not having it be like the normal announcers for golf and like all that sort of stuff. But having said all this, this was the first tournament of the three that's happened that word had like signature moments with signature players where wild stuff happened. And if that back nine happened at Augusta or at Shinnecock during the US Open or something like this, we would all be talking about that for 25 years. So I think there's still things for me that it needs to kind of work on in terms of just the way it looks and the coverage and the sound and all that stuff. But as a product, this was the first step into extreme relevance for Olympic golf, and having Scottie Scheffler win it during the season that he's already having, I think that added a ton to it, Gunnar.
Yeah, I think you needed a legit winner. I mean, if everything that happened and it was Tommy Fleetwood winning gold and Scheffler wins silver, I think we feel a little differently about
Absolutely.
It. Like, sorry, Tommy, we just flat out do. I mean, you throw in the big name narratives of it all. I mean, Rahm, Scheffler going kind of old school Tiger with, let me just go post something. Let these guys worry about it all day. I think the time zone also worked really well for it. Like, this is something we said heading into it, we were all kind of primed for coffee golf because we just finished up with the Open, what, 2-3 weeks ago, it feels like. So I think that kind of worked out well for it as well. And guess what? Time zone's going to be wicked next time because it's going to be in L.A. Do we love West Coast golf?
And isn't that Riviera?
We do. That's my understanding, although I'm not 100% up on that. I know that, the venues.
Now we're talking. You know me and Riviera, baby. That's my fave. So that Olympic golf's about to take off, in my opinion.
Anytime you can go to the second best bowl amphitheater on tour for the Olympic Games, second, of course, only to Hamilton Golf and Country Club, of course, you have to do it. Oh, I'm actually wearing the quarter zip from there when it was in 2016. Didn't even plan to do that.
How nice is that?
I know, a little serendipity. But yeah, I mean, Riv's going to be awesome. You love a signature venue. But guess what? Like, I bet a lot of the Euros were fired up to see it at Le Golf National. Like, that is that's a famous site for European golfers. That's where they took down the Americans. And not that that's become a rarity over there, but that's hallowed grounds for them as well. But yeah, let's get into
What'd you think about the course?
I thought it was fine, but I think it kind of fed into exactly what you said about it feeling DP World Tourish. Like, it's just not a venue we have a ton of familiarity with. Yeah. Again, like, if you're a European golf fan, if you're like some Spaniard who was pulling for John Rahm yesterday, you probably watch the French Open every year and you're like, hey, there it is, look at the course. So I think for us, it just doesn't carry the same weight. I think when you throw in how the broadcast kind of felt, it just didn't give it that gravitas. But I mean, we say that about the occasional PGA venue. We say that about US Open venues, quite honestly, sometimes. So I didn't think it was a 10 out of 10. Oh my God, let's get back there immediately.
Yeah.
But it didn't bother me one way or another. Like, I've certainly felt like some courses were kind of gimmicky in the past, and I didn't feel that way about this one.
I think we talked about this after Xander won at Valhalla, where it's not like my favorite course, but it's hard to complain about results, right?
Exactly.
When you have all these guys playing great and they're all within a couple shots and it's exciting right down to the stretch, I think you have to give a little bit of credit to the course and the setup and how it was. And listen, I don't think you should be going into the Olympic Games going in and like grinding out pars and hoping, like, you know, like, oh, a bogey's not bad there. Like, this to me feels, you know, you're going for a medal. You're not going to win money. Like, what did Scotty end up winning? 38K? Like,
you should be,
you should be able to make some, you should be making some birdies, I feel like. And it felt like it was a good setup. I liked the water holes close to the end. 18 was a bit of a beast. It seemed like it was tough. So I think you're very right that it's just something that's not familiar with us, but I liked the way the course looked on TV or on my laptop when I was streaming it, but, or when I Chromecasted it to my TV.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's my old man complaint. I just want to turn on my TV and have the golf on. Why can't I have that?
Hey, you're preaching to the choir here, but I don't know. Sometimes these things work. Sometimes they don't. Like, a ye old smart TV,
plugged the app right in there, and it was great.
But there's no flick.
But you think I know how to do that? Come on. No, like, hey, smart TV? Come on.
Hold on.
Like, you're
more of a youth than I. You're much closer to being a youth than me, even though I'm literally younger. But you're more youth adjacent.
Just because I have TikTok doesn't mean I know
that's
how to work
exactly
a smart
it.
TV.
No, that's literally it. It's like, you go on one more internet than me. You even told me about Reddit the other day. Oh, you're a youth.
That's
Okay. But the other thing that came to mind when you mentioned all that is just like Torrey, right? Like, I don't sit there and talk about Torrey Pines like it's some great venue, but guess what? Tiger wins there all the time, and it's always a stacked board. So good in my books. Yeah, and that's kind of how I feel about Le Golf National. I also do like saying that, right? Like,
The Golf National. What a great name.
No. Not like the golf. Hey, by the way, the National here. Great. Yeah. If you ever want to have the boys out. But you have to say it with the flourish. Otherwise, it's like, I don't know. Get me to Valderrama at Spain. Can they host the games, please, soon? Okay. Let's talk about what we saw. You want to start with the King of the Year? Or you want to start with the man who might have unseated Rory for the choke of the century?
I think, So let's start with Rom. Because
please.
I saw a tweet, I think it was from Daniel Rapoport, that on the 11th hole, the leaderboard was Scheffler was on 11 at 14 under, and John Rahm was on 10 at 20 under par. It's really, really hard to fathom that John Rahm didn't even get a medal. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, I don't even, like, I watched every stroke, I watched everything. It just wasn't even that spectacular. It just kept happening, right? Like, it just was slow, and it's like, oh, he makes a bogey, he's still in this. Oh, he makes another bogey. Then he make a double. Like, it just got progressively worse as it went on. And you're just like, oh my God, he's not going to win this anymore. He's not going to make a met. Like, it just really didn't, again, maybe because of the broadcast, maybe because the way like they were treating it with a little bit more kid gloves, it didn't feel like they were as critical on the broadcast of a lot of stuff. It just, it really kind of jumped up and surprised me. And I was like, oh my God, this is an all-time choke job. It was crazy.
All I can think of is Johnny Miller just crashing into the booth. Oh, this guy doesn't have the guts anymore. He left for live and he doesn't have the belly for it. Yeah. That's what you needed. You're right. It needed to be called out. This is such a semantics thing. I got into this with Ben a little on the morning show when we were talking about it, is the difference between a choke and a meltdown. Like, a choke is something that happens in an instant. Rory, twice, choked like a dog at the U.S. Open. It's like,
absolutely,
there's this three-footer in front of me. I really just have to make one of them. Choked like a dog in that moment. This wasn't a choke. This wasn't a singular moment. This wasn't a chunk into the water.
No.
It was just a meltdown. You know, I have been...
unraveling, if you will.
If you will, yeah. I have been on record as saying that I thought he sold his soul to the devil, going to live.
Of course.
Part of it's my anti-live thing. But also part of it is just watching the man since he left. And then you rightly pointed out that wasn't him melting down because of the pressure. It kind of was, but it was because he hasn't felt pressure in a year, 2 years on a golf course since he last won a major, probably, honestly. And that's just what I saw there. It was remarkable to see one of the guys who, again, like, time moves fast in golf, but when he was last on the PGA Tour, we looked at him as the killer of killers, and he got killed by himself in that tournament.
It was crazy. That I honestly find it hard to believe that, because we always talk about the four round thing and we always make, you love to make fun of that.
I do. It's my
favorite. I don't think that's what you lose when you go to live. Mm-hmm. I think it's the reps of playing under pressure and playing against the best of the world and having like these real stakes and watching the reactions from all these guys. It had major championship stakes. Like, when, I don't know which putt it was that Scotty made, I think it was maybe to get him to 18 or 19 under, he'd had a massive reaction, like a let's go with like a big fist pump. And I was kind of like, he wasn't doing that at the elevated events. Like, he wasn't acting like that, like at the Arnold Palmer or whatever.
Yep.
That was a different kind of celebration. And I was stunned by it. And I think that just kind of adds to, we're talking about with Rom, that they're just out of practice in playing with these big pressure events. And these other guys who, you know, the leaderboard, of course, the top three guys are all PGA Tour guys. And I know that makes you really happy, but like, they play with pressure all the time with these huge stakes against the best in the world. And the LIV guys are out of practice with it. And, you know, there's been LIV major championship winners, but that wasn't this season. It's just been crazy. So watching Rom melt down, I couldn't help but think, this guy hasn't played with any pressure in at least a year and a half, and it's showing big time here.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly, like, I saw some people, I sent out a tweet of like, hey, this is what happens. Look at John Rahm finally playing for something he cares about and playing well.
Yeah.
And people pointed out, hey, he did win his last live event, which,
and he cried.
Okay. I think because he must have remembered what it felt like to have pride in golf again, other than when the direct deposit hits, or I don't know, maybe it hit all at once and then there's been no good days.
Not sure how that works.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'd love to know.
I'll cover the tour for millions of dollars all day.
No, I told you this, that when you and I were having our live tete-a-tetes, like, you thought you were taking the right tact of defending them, and I guarantee you they would much rather have me. Get to play all the tapes, like, look, we got our man in Canada, he hated us the most and now we've got him. I look at that and that's it. It's a lack of practice, it's a lack of reps under the pressure, and there is no sport, quite frankly, that replicates pressure like this. Like, I suppose in the very finite moment of like a basketball game, you got to make a free throw at the end. That's kind of like lining up to sink a putt, but every other sport is so reactive. This one, you get to take your time. You get to think about it. And unfortunately for him, I think that's what happened. Do you think any part of the meltdown, and you mentioned how like practiced Scheffler was and how emphatic he was when he made that putt. We saw this with Tiger in the past, of him going and posting a number and guys going, oh, okay, well, Tiger showed up and I guess he wants it. Who am I to stand in his way? Let me just go stand over here by the wayside. Like, is there such a thing as a Scheffler effect with him going and posting that 62?
Well, I'm just kind of looking at their scorecards. and in terms of like when it started happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at Scotty's, and I have a hard time believing, because he, like I said, he was up six strokes on the 10th hole. Right. Mm-hmm. And it really started to unravel for him on the 11th. So like he would have made a birdie to get to, or to get to 15 under. If you're looking at Scotty and being like, oh, he's five strokes back, oh, I can't putt, then you shouldn't be out there. So I just think it was a stone cold choke. I think it was a stone cold meltdown. Yeah, he just, through 11, 12, 13, 14, he went bogey, bogey, par, double. And I mean, that just played himself right out of the tournament right there. And that was kind of it. But I have, like, listen, if it was a one stroke thing and he saw Scotty, or he was playing with Scotty, I'll absolutely hear that. But Scotty shouldn't have existed to him. Just make some pars, bud. Like, all you got to do is make pars. Like, you don't even really need to go out there and go nuclear. You had the tournament in your hands. You just couldn't do what he did. And, you know, it does help that Scotty went out and shot 29 on the back nine. So that's pretty good. And, to win a gold medal. But yeah, I have a hard time believing it was Scottie Scheffler getting hot. Like, I think the stretch where Scottie Scheffler really took it over on 14, 15, 16, 17, he made four straight birdies.
That'll play.
Yeah. 4-3, 2-3. That'll help the scorecard. And I think it was probably like at that point, Rom had already done it. So I have a hard time believing it. I think it was just a meltdown for Rombo.
No, I'm with you there. I want to talk about Scheffler, but one last point on Rom. Does this do anything for him, or is it too far?
His
too
legacy
far till the
is
Masters?
So weird now.
No, I don't mean the legacy. I just mean like let's say the Olympics were in May. I don't know why the Summer Olympics would be in May, but let's say they were.
Yeah.
And he had two more majors coming up where he can say, like, I am a month away from the U.S. Open. I'm a month away from the Open Championship. I could see a world where this galvanizes him, steals him. He found it a little, but yeah, I don't know. For all I know, the live season's over. Honestly, not a clue. It's going to be 200 and something days until he plays a tournament that he truly cares about again, which will be the Masters, the first major of the year. Is it possible for him to carry like any of this over? I say no.
I think he's just praying for the Xander Schauffele gold medal treatment, where he's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. No one cares about that. It's Olympic golf. No one cares. That's what he's praying for.
Yeah.
Because I do think part of me thinks in the moment, like with a lot of Olympic sports, it matters more than anything, right? Like, it's just like, it is the number one thing we care about right now. We're so patriotic. All we do is, and then, you know, a couple months go by, we're into the FedEx Cup playoffs. We're watching that. John Rahm's gone. Maybe we're not talking about it as much. Like, it's hard to know how we're going to feel about this one, but this one does feel different because of the high profile names. Mm-hmm. But like you said, Gunnar, I think he just goes and like, he's gone now. Like, he doesn't, I think that's part of what probably makes him really happy about being on LIV at this very moment is he doesn't have to go to the FedEx Cup playoffs starting. I think this is the last week of the regular season.
Yeah, this is the last regular season. Yeah.
Or you have to go to the first tourney and sit down to the media and answer these questions. He can go to his state controlled media with LIV. Doesn't have to do anything. Just kind of not talk about
sir,
it.
Sir, talk to us about that wonderful front nine on Sunday, sir.
I read in the Live review that you shot a 58 and one. What a job.
Wow. Three great rounds, everyone said, and then they all cheer for him. I actually kind of go the other way. I think he would love to be out there and say, hey, I like, yes, choked like a dog, meltdown of all meltdowns. But I found something here. Let's go use it in a tournament I care about.
For sure. And,
200 days until that happens. I'm sure he'll tell you he cares very much.
Only 200 days to the Masters?
Well, no, it's like, I noticed Shane Bacon after the last major did the, like, it's 260 something, I don't know when that was, and I ain't doing that math. Okay. So 200 and something.
Okay. It's not bad. I can survive.
Somebody who's had something of a year. Scotty Scheffler here. We got to talk about him. You know, he won the gold medal. We probably should. He did a great job evading the question he was asked of, like, hey, he had a bunch of big wins this year. What means the most, as he's crying like a baby after winning the gold medal? And he said, this was a great dance. He's like, well, obviously the biggest prize in my life this year is my son. That he has. It's just like, great, good job. Just
great, Zag.
Just a great,
perfect thing to say.
Well, you've seen him on the court. That was just a little quick crossover he hit somebody with. A little hezzy, give him some space. But it's funny. We've done this yo-yo with him and Xander. It's like, oh, Xander wins two majors. Like, we can't even have a conversation about this. That's player of the year. And like we said, if Tommy Fleetwood won the gold medal, it'd be a nice thing for him, but we wouldn't care about it.
I don't think
it
we would have done
much.
A golf show if Tommy Fleetwood had won the gold medal.
Oh, God. If Tommy Fleetwood would have found a way to get into that playoff, you want to talk about choking like a dog. I'll tell you what would have happened.
He couldn't
there.
Even get there.
Exactly. We'll get to Fleetwood in a sec. But Scheffler, does this change your player of the year thoughts at all? Just were you surprised to see the emotion from him? I'm not. Like, I have joked from the second I saw him on my TV that he has resting America face. So, of course, he's going to be so honored to do something for America. But does this change your opinion on the year he's had? Is it just like another feather in the cap for you? Where are you at?
It's a tough question because I didn't really know. Like, I was locked in on Xander being player of the year because the two majors. But just the way that he did this in terms of coming up and just being undeniably great reminded me a ton of the Players' Championship earlier in the year where he went and stole it from Wyndham Clark. And Xander,
that
too,
cup
actually.
On 17.
Yeah. That actually is who stole it, was the cup. But I think this was such an impressive showing. And I thought there was a little bit of an undercurrent. I guess it was another like limited field event that he wins. So Zag is still alive and well. But, you know, he couldn't putt last major. He was, again, it was like old Scotty where he was number one in everything and like dead last in putting. And it was that narrative was starting to bubble up again where he couldn't win an open. Like, there's that narrative was kind of out there. And then he just goes out there and kind of reminds everybody that the best player in the world should win the gold medal at the Olympics, and he did it. And I'm not going to be a prisoner of the moment. I'm still going to say Xander with the two majors because the majors matter the most in golf. They always will. Even the gold medal is impressive. But, man, this is throwing a little bit of a stick into my spokes here when I'm thinking about who I would vote for. I'm still going to go Xander, but this is giving me something to think about. Like, if Scotty goes in the FedEx Cup playoffs and is undeniable and wins all that, then I think I'll go Scotty. But it's coming down to the FedEx Cup playoffs for me to get rid of Xander being the top guy.
Yeah, what a crazy, you mentioned Ben, who I do the morning show, of course, with Ben Ennis. It's like he loathes that I keep mentioning the playoffs of the PGA Tour season as though it's something that kind of matters a little bit. Jump ball going into the playoffs. You guys have both been amazing. Xander, if you do the players poll, I guarantee, there's the answer they'd give, and then there's the real answer, which is just whatever guy had the most money. That's the season they'd rather have. But
who is the richest man?
Who's the richest guy? I'd like to be John Rahm, best season again. Who knew with his massive live money? But I think it's a jump ball heading into the playoffs. Like, I'm not going to go as far as if Scotty finishes fifth and Xander is fourth, then Xander's player of the year. But if one of these guys wins the playoffs, done and dusted.
For sure.
They're the player of the year. If it is a non-factor, I am going to still stick with Schauffele because I just think majors is what matters the most in golf. This is a complete, again, semantic argument. Who should win the award? Xander Schauffele. Who had the more impressive season? Scotty Scheffler. Yep. By a landslide. Xander had two great weeks and a bunch of good ones. Mm-hmm. Scotty had like 10 great weeks and a bunch of good ones. So that's the kind of way I look at it there.
So just to quickly zoom in on that back nine, it's funny because everybody's like, oh, the putting. He didn't need his putter. Like, if we were playing like you and me, he hit these gimme length from
Scoop
180 for the whole back nine. It was crazy. So like that's what he can do, right? Is that when his iron play is just so unbelievable. And when he's on, like, he doesn't need a putter. That's how he was able to win multiple tournaments being like the, 150th best putter on tour is because he just hits it to foot length on every hole. So it was really impressive, man. That back nine was really, really good. The only problem is he had to do it wearing the Cleveland Guardians reverse retro pants, which was a tough look for him. But what were those? Like, Jay Lindbergh, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Like, just go ahead.
You're zoomed in on the pants. The fit as a whole, they looked like the Chilean national team. I kept thinking to myself, is that Joaquin Niemann? He doesn't look thin enough. It's weird. That's all I kept thinking. Yeah. They looked like Chile. I don't know how you take red, white, and blue and make it look so un-American. And I don't even know why that bothers me so much. But it does.
Put stars on the pants, for Christ's sakes. Do something crazy. You don't have to do the stripe. The stripe was awful. I actually thought that the shirts were okay. The hats were fine. I really did think they were just like totally generic USA shirts. And they roll out those baseball pants. I'm like, I guess maybe it's their ode to America's pastime. I don't know what the hell they're doing. But Jesus, man, they're terrible. They're terrible.
Hovland must have been licking his chops. Oh, yeah. He's like, God, we got red, white, and blue in our flag, too. Norwegian, let's go. Give me those pants, Jalen.
Yeah.
Okay, quickly, Fleetwood. No.
I had another gear thing.
Oh, please. Yeah, give it to me. Of course.
So weird seeing these guys wear it. Like, it's a funny how well advertising works.
Oh, I know. Because
I associate Rory with Nike, clearly. And having him wear, like, the Adidas shirt, I was like, how mad is Nike right now? That's
so
all
I
could think of.
I'm sure this gentleman I'm about to reference is on TikTok as well, but there's this like branding guy. He used to work for Nike and he did a great video about all this. And it's
send that to me.
Okay, I will. But he basically, the way all these countries cut deals, and it's like they got to give the guys a little something so they're still all allowed to wear their own shoes, right? So Rory's in like the full Adidas, but he's got the Nike shoes.
Yeah.
It harkens back to like Jordan with the Dream Team and him putting the flag over the crest because he didn't want the Reebok, I think it was, logo in there. It is so weird though. You're right. And like Scottie Scheffler, has a guy ever felt less likely to wear Jay Lindbergh in his life than Scottie Scheffler?
He will never not wear a generic Nike golf shirt. Like,
no,
he is
the
like,
best part is he doesn't even wear the generic ones. They're generic in look, but I guess it'd have to change now because he's no longer with the company, but he always wore the Tiger stuff. Like, you would see the Tiger logo on the back of
his shoes.
His shirt
are still Tiger shoes, and they're just amazing. Like, don't have logo anymore. Yeah. He loves it. So I thought that was such a funny little wrinkle to the tournament. Like, just seeing, like, Jason Day going from wearing Malbon, like, the coolest gear on earth, to just wearing like the most horrific yellow shirt and a visor for some reason. I
know.
Like, what is happening?
So, well, this was, again, great idea by this branding guy whose name I cannot remember.
Yeah.
I have like a very generic name. I'm just going to say it. I think his name is Jordan Rogers, but that's also just like the most create a player name of all time. I think that's who it is. He had the great idea of, you know, Olympic rounds. It is what it is. These companies pay money to get their deals, yada, yada, yada. They should let Malbon cook up a sick like practice round fit
of
for
course.
Jason Day in Australia colors. You know, we would love to rock a Team Canada roper. I didn't see any of those poking around. Yeah, we would have loved to have seen that. So Olympic gear, like, good job, but it looks some weird sometimes. And get me a Team Canada rope hat ASAP, please.
I think you were right about Jordan Rogers.
Okay, yeah, that's just true or false. That does not. That
His
does
trusted
sound like
client partners are Florida State, Tennessee, Colorado, Stanford. You got him.
Yeah. All right. That's my guy. You know, hey, he likes golf, so maybe he's listening. Highly doubt it.
I'm going to follow him.
Okay, you should. He's very interesting. Just a couple other things on the podium. You mentioned Scottie Scheffler gets his amazing $36,000, to which I'm sure he doesn't even notice. He's like, honestly, keep it. Messes up the taxes, guys. If you think that's funny, Hideki Matsuyama, national hero of Japan. Do you know what he took home for his bronze?
I got to say, 10 grand tops.
6K. But not as funny as Tommy Fleetwood getting $0. That is my understanding is like Great Britain, Team GB, they either don't pay out for medals or it's only golds or whatever, but he gets $0. I like to think that they saw 18 and they're like, you couldn't even get in the playoff, eh? You know what? No. You get nothing and you'll like it. That was the most Fleetwood finish of all time. It's like, hey, just make a birdie. It's the 18th hole of a tournament.
Or just don't bogey 17.
Right, either or.
With like one of the best parts of his game, the short game with the chipping and stuff.
Yeah.
And he just gack it. It was just vintage. It was vintage. He clearly had a look at the scoreboard. And I will always love Tommy for what happened at Oakdale. Mm-hmm. And for him
Our
being
man.
Such a great guy about it. And just choking multiple times, missing so many makeable putts, and allowing that putt to happen for, I will always love Tommy Fleetwood for that. But yeah, like, if I could have bet on something happening, that was the most predictable thing of all time.
You think Scottie Scheffler was happy to win a gold? He was sitting up there going, God, they should give silver medals at every golf tournament. This is amazing. Think about how much they would have loved in Canada then.
I did love the crying from Scotty. I will say, like,
of course,
I'm telling you, as one of the more patriotic people on earth, I'm standing on top of that medal, and that national anthem hits, I'm waterworks guaranteed.
Oh,
so
I'm looking like the Italian national team before a friendly, just like screaming oh, yeah. it, looking angry for some reason.
Yeah.
A couple other classics I got to sneak in here. Yep. Rory, top five finish. Who would have thunk it? Also, Corey
Connors.
You can
even backdoor one in the Olympics.
I know. I wanted that bronze just for you to make fun of me about it. Corey Connors, it's like, hey, three or four straight rounds in the 60s, finishes with the top 10. Good yep. on you. Could have seen that coming. I do also have to say my heart aches for Tom Kim. He's got to go. Like, I don't think he has to go right now, but
has to do it at some point.
At some point, all South Korean males have to do the 2 years of mandatory service. The last guy that I remember who had this eat into their career, Sangmoon Bae, he yep. hit a chip at the President's Cup that hit the front of the green and came racing back to his feet. And that was it for his golf career till he went into the Olympics, or sorry, not the Olympics, the Army. Very, very different. Oof. Both patriotism, but not
that's
fun.
Easy.
He was crying in the Tom Kim was crying in the scorer's tent. Sung Jae actually got out of this by winning gold in the I think Asian Games.
There's the Asian Games. Yeah. Him and the other Siwoo and Kim. Kim both got out
so,
of it.
Could have mixed in Tom Kim as your partner there.
Yeah, can we?
And left him kind of
schedule another Asian game.
Well,
here.
Also, it's like, oh, we got three great golfers. Sorry, one of you, you're going to the Army. I my heart breaks for him. Honestly, it does. I would love to sit here and like make a joke, but this guy has to give up his professional golf career. And it's like, hey, it's their country. They want to do it that way. I'm not going to begrudge them that, but I feel awful for him. And I love
for
Tom
sure.
Kim and yeah. our international team.
Yeah. So the other quick thing I wanted to bring up was. Yep. I was electrified by Victor Perez's performance on the back nine.
The Parisians loved it too.
Well, I mean, to have the hometown guy going out there and just going like there's going nuclear. And then there's what Victor Perez did from the 12th hole to the 16th hole. He went 3-3-3-3-2. And one of those was an eagle and everybody,
that'll
he
play.
Was just firing it up. I absolutely loved it. He was clearly in the mix until Matsuyama got in with a 17 under.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think the other guy was Pavon, who I think maybe finished dead last there.
Yes.
So he didn't do a whole lot for them. But yeah, I love that from Victor Perez. Sounds not exactly French. He doesn't have the most French sounding name.
No.
Mathieu Pavon is the most French sounding name of all time. Yeah. So maybe. But yeah, I was impressed by Victor Perez.
And
I loved it. I just love seeing those crowds. It reminds me of the Canadian Open when we were all cheering for Nick Taylor and just. Having that hometown crowd, the Olympics, all that stuff, I just loved it for Victor Perez. I was really impressed by him on the back nine on Sunday.
And
Sunday,
you nailed it. He did finish dead last, four strokes back of Camilo Villegas. So
where did he finish? Dead last?
Dead last, okay. Yeah. Just again, Camilo Villegas finishing ahead of him in the year 2024. That's international team Ryder Cup assistant captain. All right, I would want to say good luck to Brooke Henderson.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to cheer for you, Brooke. Elena Sharp there as well. Of course, I am ecstatic. If you thought the guys had any chance of meddling, what should you think about Brooke? She is going to be right there. I also have to sneak this in before we go. I already told you about this, but I have to tell the listeners.
Let me have it.
I saw something in the wild that I never thought I would see. I saw a Bryson DeChambeau crusher's hat. In the wild. I was at a kid's birthday party. Shout out Hudson, turning two today.
Wow, big day. Way to go, Huddy.
Okay, so some guy at the party who I did not know, I saw him wearing a crusher's hat. I was talking to my buddy, and I just told my buddy in the dead middle of a sentence he was saying, I'm like, this guy has a crusher's hat on. I need to go take a picture of his face. He loved that from me. I walk right up to this guy. I'm like, hey, I need to take a picture of your face and send it to my bud. He's trying to like introduce himself to me, and I'm like, we don't have time for that. I have to text McKee about this. And this is the part that made me sick. It's a great looking hat.
Look,
big beefy Bryson wearing something on TV and looking good doing it is one thing.
Yeah.
This like, you know, relatively stock 30 something male wearing it and looking good. It had a very different vibe. You'd have to pay me money to wear it still. And I'm open for business, Liv, if you want to come calling, but I couldn't believe how nice it looked, and I couldn't believe I saw it in the wild. First time I've ever seen a Liv hat in the wild. I brought this information to you, but I have to bring it to everyone else.
Dude, that's incredible. I got that picture. I was so jealous. Like, listen, I just can't justify the 90. It's 90 bucks shipped.
This guy bought it in person, and he said it was like 75 at the Liv tournament.
Oof.
And he's like, yeah, I guess I bought a whole bunch.
I guess they got to justify spending 700 schmil on Rombo somehow.
Just incredible. I couldn't believe I saw one in the wild. I almost was gonna barter with him. Be like, what's that worth to you? Can I get it for my boy, Sam McKee?
Well, they
But
have
yeah.
like, listen, I went on the live website. They have a bunch of sick Crushers hats. I've been flirting with it, but maybe next golf season, maybe after that, that real Kipper and Bourne money starts hitting my bank account again, I'll start getting back on there. But yeah, it's a beautiful hat. It's a good logo.
I'll now play. It is a good logo. I will play the role of your lovely wife and mine as well. No, honestly, just what you guys need is another golf hat. Great. We don't have any in the house. So, good
I
job.
actually put a bag of 25 hats on my front porch. And it was like, I wrote on the bag. I was like, lots of good hats, Jays, golf. Like, I wrote all of it on there. And someone took them all. They were gone within 5 minutes. If you put
Good
someone
job.
in front of my house, I live on a main street in Toronto, it is gone. You can put anything out there. I put a bed frame out there a couple years ago. It was gone in 25 minutes. It just
Oh,
bing.
buddy, the garbage picker, he's out there before the trash man every day. Speaking of which, it's trash day today. I gotta get it out. You gotta get into work.
Yeah.
McKee, this was a fun show. Again, go, Brooke, go. All the
Yep.
Canadians, of course, with our Olympic Games, we're finishing up. We're pulling for you, Brooke. You could do it. Olympic medal, boy, that would change a little bit of a conversation about you in this country. Not that you need the help, but
Go,
from a
Brooke,
public
go.
perception standpoint, you do. Go, Brooke, go. That's Sam McKee. I'm Brent Gunning, and it's been the Golf Guys.